There's a toy that as a child had unbridled possibilities of your imagination, which then, when you reach adulthood, becomes the most painful thing to tread on. It's Lego.
To infinity and beyond!
Aiden Barr! Top of the world!
I'm the king of the world!
Yo, Adrian!
There's no
flying
in baseball!
Yeah, who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
Elementary, my dear Watson.
What's in the box?
Just what do you think they're doing, Dave?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
But why male models?
Why so serious?
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Go ahead. Make my day.
It gives me great pleasure to announce the winner of LEGO Masters 2019 is... Henry and Cabe. Yeah!
Welcome everybody to Pop Culture. I am Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And everybody, we have a very special guest today. We are joined by the one and only Mr. Henry Pinto of LEGO Masters fame, the LEGO Dark Knight himself.
Thanks for having me, gents.
I've known you for a while and it was sort of like, well, if we're going to talk about LEGO, I should probably just ask Henry if he'd come and talk about LEGO with us.
I'd be hurt if you didn't ask me. I'd be hurt.
So really cool. Like, thank you so much for joining us to talk about LEGO today. And as far as our topics have gone, this is probably the most fun thing we've ever talked about. If that's any window into my perspective on LEGO. And it is one of those, like, it's a toy that kind of transcends generations. And, like, my older brothers had it. I had it. My kid now has it. It's, like, kind of crazy the way it works. So I guess, how did you guys discover LEGO? And I assume it's some sort of childhood story.
Oh, it's very, I think it's very similar to a lot of, you know, males that are 40, you know, my son actually got me back into it. So he was bringing it home from like when he was about 5 and I was like, oh, wow, this has changed so much since I was a kid. This is so much better. And like just snowballed from there. And then I started buying, you know, packets of it all the time and just, you know, just randomly trying to make stuff and it all just snowballed from there.
Well, I guess I had the 80s renaissance of Lego. So it was very, very popular toy at that time when I was young. And I still remember having the giant spaceship from the 80s there. You know, if you've probably seen it in Lego Movie, I don't know the name of it, but it was my favorite toy. And it was just that fact that you could build these things, and personally, ever since I've been a child, I've called it the ultimate toy.
Well, the play limit is, it's unlimited. Mm. You can do whatever you want. I remember my brothers having like playing with like space Lego, probably not the space Lego that you're talking about. No. And I the first one I really remember was this like underwater. I had like a submarine and a shark. Like the old Lego shark that was really kind of like bland looking and like a yellow submarine. And there was like a bad submarine that was like black and kind of looked like a robot shark. And I really remember that. And then it was kind of like when Star Wars Lego came out, like my bloody 8-year-old head exploded and I had everything.
I think a lot of 40-year-old heads exploded when
they started doing license stuff. It was like, oh, no. Now like I'm just full of this shit. I got it everywhere.
I was like, I made a comment like about you liking Lego even more than me when I look at your Lego setup.
I've got a couple sitting around at the moment. Yeah. Like my Simpsons house. It's cool. It's just me talking about Lego sets that I can see now. There's a lot of Lego in the room. Yeah. And we're all dads. We've all got kids who I'm pretty sure are all into Lego now.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, mine's starting to phase out, but then I've got one that's starting to phase in. So I'm like,
well, your kids, yes, well, you've got an older one.
I've got an older one who's in high school, and he's literally like, what? Lego? I'm not doing that anymore. So he's like having his dark age right now, like right in the midst of it, where he's having his dark age. So I'm watching it going, oh yeah, like this is your dark age. You'll get back into it, mate. Don't worry.
Yeah, it'll come back around.
It'll come back around. And then I've got a 2-year-old who's sort of like way too young for, you know, the cool stuff, but I'm sort of slowly trying to get him addicted to it. Like, you
Duplo,
know, like Duplo.
The gateway,
you know,
drug.
That's the gateway. And then we'll slowly get into Lego City, and then, you know, we'll get into some licensed themes, and then, yep, you know, then, you know, that's when the hard stuff comes in, you know, Lego Technique.
My son's at the Lego City at the moment. So Duplo began to bore him quite quickly. Oh. So then it was like, oh, all right. So I bought the Lego City. They've just done the National Geographic ones.
That's a shame. I'm going to have to take a gift back now.
He still likes it.
Oh, okay.
He just he got just amazed by bigger. Like it got bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is awkward.
You're talking about the Lego, right? You're talking about the Lego.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
No, I went. Basically, coming back to that childhood part of it, for me, when I got Lego sets, I think a lot of kids do imaginative play in lots of different ways, and a Lego set for me was one of the main ways I did a lot of my imaginative play, because, you know, Star Wars was out at the time, but there was no Lego sets for it, and so I enjoyed all of those films, but I'd be creating scenarios similar to it, and, you know, having towns get destroyed by some spaceship here and then getting another spaceship to come in and fight it, and it just made you escape the way that reading does and things like that, because yeah, you had these great models to manipulate in a way that was up to you.
That's a great way of putting it, like, yeah, you know, comparing it to reading like that. I totally remember doing that as well, you know, like Do you remember the Klingon warbird from,
yes,
you know, like I remember building that, trying to build that, and I remember still remember it vividly. It probably looks way worse than like when I built it, you know what I mean? Because I built it as a 10-year-old, so I'm imagining it looks like an exact replica.
It's got like red blocks.
Yeah, but it probably looks like total garbage. But like I remember playing with that all the time, like recreating it and having those experiences.
Yeah.
Same as you.
Yeah, and it's that manipulative ability of it to sort of create your own concepts as well, which just really helped forge it more. And
yeah,
I loved Lego for years, you know. Yes, unfortunately, you get to about 11, 12, and
stop.
It's a kid's thing at that point.
See, but I never went through. I just kept buying it.
Well, I think they're doing a really good job at
for me anyway, because I'm a little bit younger than you guys, like they just kept bringing out stuff that's like, I need that. I want that.
I think now more than ever they're doing that, you know, like they really don't. It's almost like they don't expect you to have a dark age now. You know, there's literally Lego that's like...
For your entire development.
For like your 12-year-old, your 15-year-old, you know, like... Not even in terms of like technical ability of the Lego, like in terms of themes, like Stranger Things. Yeah. Like, that's awesome. You know, like that's a real sort of...
And that kind of darker thing that you wouldn't normally expect to see
out of
Lego.
Totally. Like Stranger Things. I'm trying to think of what else. Even Simpsons. Simpsons is quite... You know,
On the edge.
Yeah.
My cousin is like the least imaginative human being you would ever meet. like no creative ability whatsoever. But you know what he really likes? He likes cars. And they've just started dropping like the Lego Speed with like Ferrari and Mustang.
Oh,
And he bought all of them just to have replicas of these cars that he likes.
I think they're really doing a good job at finding the casual market of things, you know, like you might buy those car sets not because you like Lego, but because you're a fanatic into cars, you know, or like things like that. I think, have you guys seen it? The grand piano, like, it's like, you know, you don't necessarily have to be a music aficionado, but it's like, you know, it helps. Like, if you play piano, you probably get it, you know, you'd appreciate it.
They've done like the ship in the bottle recently. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Well, my partner went and bought the Mini.
Yep.
Because she just loves the Mini.
Yeah.
But it was nothing to do with Lego in itself. I mean, she doesn't mind the idea of making it and constructing the Mini, but it's the fact that it was a Mini.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And like there's all these, the Lego City and stuff, which doesn't really do a lot for me, the kind of cops and robbers and that sort of stuff.
Probably the line
it's,
that
it's
I read.
Kids. Yeah. It's kid friendly one, right? They don't even have guns in Lego City, I think.
No.
They're not allowed to. But they did the Lego Detective Office that I just had to have because I love noir films.
Yeah. Right?
And it's got like the little detective office and he's got his like scotch on his desk. And it's above a like a snooker table and stuff. Like I'm just like, I need that because I just love noir detective movies. So they do crazy stuff like that that hits you in places you didn't expect. Like I never would have thought that I would have bought like a Lego City set like of that scale. But it hit that part of me where it's like, that is such a favorite genre of mine that I just needed it. Because it had like, he had the hat and he had everything. It's got the dame in red walking in the door. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I never even noticed that level of detail like that you're talking about. Like now that you mention, I'm like, oh yeah, there is the dame in the red dress. All that sort
it's
of
great.
Yeah.
They're just, there's something to it that is for everybody.
And the way they're going now with even like the mosaics and things like that, like that's
you can just buy pictures.
Paint by numbers, right?
Yeah, like Iron Man they did and a few others.
It's like the lowest level of technical ability. The mosaics.
Just put a stud on
that. I'm like, okay, you're really appealing to the casual fan now.
Yeah, like for Christmas a few years ago, I still haven't built it. My brother got me a it was like you took a sent a photo in and they sent you back.
Oh, yeah.
To build.
Yep.
So I've got this, it's monstrous. So that's why I haven't built it because I have no idea where the hell I'm going to put it of like my son in Lego studs. I've got that sitting there somewhere. That's like,
That's like grandma level of casual.
It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Like.
Here's Cot, we got you this for Christmas.
And you're like, boy.
I'd rather have the socks.
I need to put my glasses on for this one. Oh geez, but yeah, it's like it's everywhere now, and even like we talk that shows popped culture. We talk about popular culture, like the Lego Movie was like a massive hit. And how many have they made since? They made the second one. There's the Batman one, Ninjago,
and there's like a myriad of casual
series
that they make and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I mean, I didn't me personally, I didn't actually enjoy like the Lego Movie too much, but. You know, whatever.
I didn't mind it.
The first one's awesome. The second one's really... Yeah.
I found it too messy.
Right.
See, I'm the dad in...
Are you looking at it from a filmmaker's point of view, though?
Maybe.
He wanted the craggle to go.
See, my son's not allowed to touch
that. Oh, we're all totally that business. We're all totally like that.
I'm like, your ones, you do whatever your heart desires, mate. You he know. Lost a piece of my Slave One and I was furious. It's like a grey bar that holds the canopy on and I was like, where to go? So I had to replace it with a black one and I was like fuming.
Were you letting him play with it?
Yes. Because he wants to play with daddy's Lego all the time.
Oh, do you know, I was going through a tub of my old Lego and there were so many pieces that were glued together. And I was like, I'm a really bad organizer, right? I have these, you know, tubs of consolidated Lego revenue that are just, you know, I've acquired over the years. And it's literally like, you know, like I was like, oh, wow, I haven't visited that tub in ages. Look at all this stuff that I used to have, you know, and I've looked at it. And it's like, oh, this minifig's head's glued on. I can't use it. Ugh.
Yep. I remember that. I had a tub of Lego like that where it's like you went to pull pieces apart and it's like, oh. And then eventually it's like crack and it's like all crusty and really foul looking. Video games as well. Like the Lego video games are like a $1 million industry unto themselves.
And my kids have been enjoying those. I played a little bit of them, but... The humor sort of pervading the games is so fun.
They like
the Star Wars one, for instance, you know, they sort of play with the concept and it's their playfulness, I guess, is the best word to run along with Lego. Is it is all about this playfulness, and I have enjoyed watching them probably enjoy it more than me because they get a bit same-ish as you keep going through it. But
they're all very similar.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're all
smash stuff. Get 100%.
Yeah. But, yeah, I do like that playfulness that's in them.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is a titan of the toy industry. And I was just reading a moment ago. That'd be right. In 2015, Lego replaced Ferrari as the most powerful brand in the world.
Wow, really?
Really? Yeah, that's pretty major.
Yeah. There you go. And investing in Lego has been more valuable than investing in gold stocks.
Oh, that is 100% true. 100%. The amount of flippers that, you know, buy 14 of a set and then go, oh, yeah, like you'll see it on eBay.
Like, wait till it's discontinued.
Even like there was one thing that I wanted this year that was totally caught up in that whole like people buying, you know, it was the Lego shoes. I don't know if you guys know, but there was Adidas teamed up with Lego, and they made this Lego shoe. It wasn't made out of Lego. It was just like Lego themed.
Oh, okay.
Shoe, right?
Yeah, like, that would be uncomfortable.
And I was just like, I want one. I love sneakers, right? So I'm a bit of a sneaker aficionado, and I love sneakers. So I was like, I want them. I want them. I want them. I want them. And the minute they were out, they were on all these different websites for like four times the price. And it's just like, you know, and whenever a Lego set comes out that's like that or an exclusive, always same thing as well.
Yeah.
Wow. You know?
Well, I was talking to Jason about it earlier. There was a Lego set that I had as a kid that I like adored, and it got torn apart, smashed, whatever, pieces ended up wherever they ended up. And I was like, and when I got my first job, I was like, I want that Lego set again.
Which one's that?
It was, do you remember Lego Adventures in the 90s?
I do.
What was his name? The guy? Oh, yeah, it's the dumb Ace Brickman. Something weird, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that kind of thing. That's the detective. Anyway, it was the Dinosaur Island one, and it was this like big jungle shack. It had a satellite dish that folded out of the roof, and it had a zip line and a T-Rex and stuff. And I paid at the time, $400, $500 out of my first paycheck to buy this thing from Germany.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you do love Lego way more than me.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, because I wanted it again. I needed it again to I needed that set again. And I paid a stupid amount of money for it, for what probably would have been like $99 when it, you know.
Do you look back at that now that you're an actual Lego fan and go, oh, I could have bricklinked that for like $40.
Yeah. But you know what? All I knew about was eBay back then, my friend.
I'm the same. I didn't discover Bricklink until well into my Lego building sort of, you know. I was buying like 15 of a set and I'd be like,
I just take certain pieces.
Yeah. There's got to be a better way to get Lego than this.
So essentially you can order piece by piece.
Yeah, I sort of gathered that, but I'm just wondering how it all works. Can you get a model of a set and get those pieces?
Yes, you can. You can literally
You can put in like a part list of some set you want and then download the instructions and build it.
Oh, nice.
Or like one of, and it's really weird because every now and then you'll come across a piece that's only being released in like one set.
And
it's like $15 for one piece, something like
depending
that.
Depending on the rarity,
you know.
So like one of the things you built that was really like quite popular was your Sentinel.
Yeah.
Purple pieces were only in like what, Lego Friends?
Yeah, they were, but you know what? Nobody wanted them.
Yeah.
I was literally like the only, everyone would have been going, this guy, sell him the magenta. He wants it, you know? Like, and I'm surprised nobody caught on to the fact that I wanted it and was charging a fortune because I would have paid it.
Yeah. It's like just weird stuff like that, like colors. And I remember we were talking once, there was a gentleman at a brick convention who built these, like buildings, but they were kind of like all out of clear.
Yeah.
It's kind of like almost artistic mosaic, kind of all these different colored buildings, and they were like crystal kind of palaces. And I was like, oh, they look pretty cool. And you're like, you have no idea how much those cost. Like just to get clear pieces of everything.
Yeah, right.
Because they're not really that common.
Yeah, totally. And it's just like, you know, and that's Pete that you're talking about. And I know that he waits for years before a piece comes out. Then when that piece is released, he'll be like, oh, yeah, now I can do it. You know, like.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a world of itself. And now it's like the last 2 years anyway. Well, it's been longer because there's obviously, we're talking about Lego Masters now. We have that show in America and England,
it's,
I think, as
well.
It's like everywhere's got their own Lego Masters. Lego Masters Australia came out, and Henry here, one of the two winners of Lego Masters Season 1.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and once again, propelled Lego sales in Australia. Like the marketing campaign that like Kmart and Big W were just like salivating. Like,
you're welcome, Lego.
What was that like? So like as a Lego fan, you get onto this TV show.
Yeah. Oh, it was, it's like, it's all your Lego fantasies come true, right? Like you get to like, build literally whatever you want, and it's an amazing experience. Like, you know, to be unleashed, you know, when, because I don't have a creative job day to day, right? I just have a normal 9-to-5 sort of, you know, very corporate job. So to be like let loose, where you can say, do something creative, go for it. This is your job now for the next, you know, 2-3 months. It's an amazing experience, and it's really sort of like enriches your, I guess, outlook on, you know, what you can do for a living. You know, like, because cool. It made me think like that. You know, like you get, and you translate those skills that you see, you know, what, like there's a lot of skills that I learned on the show that translates to life now, you know, and it's really, really rewarding, you know.
Nice.
You know, like there's so many people that I meet, like in my professional life, that go, you're that guy from Lego Masters. it's a great icebreaker. You know?
Has life changed much? Like in terms of like, do you get recognized?
I used to get recognized a lot, and it's funny because Cade, my partner on the show, he was telling me he doesn't get recognized a lot unless I'm with him. So which is really funny.
He is kind of like, no, no offense, Cade. He is like a nondescript white guy.
He literally looks like everyone. Like I'd tell him he looks like Paul Rudd or Cameron Smith, or just, he looks like any sort of Aussie bloke.
Yeah.
With brown hair.
Yeah.
The on Lego Masters, like my family and I watched it and enjoyed it immensely. I'm imagining, did you do a lot of that creative creations to that scale before you got on the show, or was it sort of?
No, it was really a trial by fire, Jason. Like yeah. It was, and to be honest, I was really out of my depth in the first couple of episodes, like really, really out of my depth. Like I have to say that Cade is like the best all rounder. Like he knows how to build out of Lego, like really build out of Lego. Whereas I went on the show only knowing how to build robots or vehicles and things like that. And that was really niche, right? Mm. And like you realize you can't do that every episode. And so, but I realized that, you know, but together we're both really good storytellers, and we were coming up with all these crazy stories, and you sort of, you think it's the first time, you think about it, it sounds really weird in your head. Like I'll use the example of the treehouse from the first episode, where they're like, okay, like Brickman's telling us, he goes, okay, you've built a treehouse, but what's the story behind the treehouse? And I'm like, well, everyone remembers playing in a treehouse of some sort. And then it just went like, ba-bow, like just super flat. And you're like, well, what do you mean? Like, I had no idea what he meant. Like he was like, tell me a story. And you're like, what, you mean like a story, like, you know, make up something? And he's like, yeah. And you're like, oh, like, you know, where do we go from here? And so we started making this like story, and, you know, saying it in my head, I was like, this sounds ridiculous. Like this sounds stupid. And then like I think the first time we said the whole Peter Pan, you know, I think that resonates with especially someone like me, you know, who works a corporate job and, you know, sort of has to grow up in, you know, in, you know, the public's eye, right? But then when we first said the whole story of, oh, you know, Peter Pan's like this corporate gangster now and all this, and then like, and Hamish started pissing himself, and like, it was like, and then we're like, oh, this is what we can do. So when you start thinking like that, it's like, oh, this is the sort of tone that you want. Oh, yeah, cool. And you start going, all right, like, you know, and it was really, really like, that was an amazing experience for me, because I was like, oh, you don't feel like stupid or silly.
No, because we're watching it, I'm like, that's so clever. Like, that's fantastic. That's like next level. Like, I appropriation of ideas.
You know, and then so like, but in that build, like I had never built a building before. So here I am assembling these little apartments, and Cade's, you know, really directing me to go, look, we need 6 of them, and we need these colors and this and that. And I'm like, I was like, I come on this show and I'm just doing this, you know, sort of thing. And, but you know, it was, you know, we worked really well together doing that sort of stuff. So yeah, it was really, really enriching experience.
Nice. Mm. Cause I mean, I'd seen the stuff that you'd built before, which is really impressive, and you should be very proud. And then, like, going, when you told me that you were on the show, I'm like, well, it's his to lose.
Like, I felt the same way. Legit.
And then when, like, the treehouse thing in the story, and, like, you, Brickman obviously got very excited, and I'm like, it's got this. Thanks, man. I think I messaged you, and I'm like, dude, if you don't win this shit.
Because I think you have to have some sort of, like, I think you can go, and I've seen some of the stories that other contestants have told on the other series, like, you know, that have aired now. Like, you know, I've seen bits and pieces of, you know, the international versions as well as the US version and stuff. And I think, you know, some of the stories that people tell, if you gear it too much towards just cutesy, sort of being, you know, very kiddie, it doesn't really, like, it. The builds can still be amazing, and that's fine. But I think you'll miss out on half the audience, you know what I mean? Like, if you layer the story and, you know, someone, you know, a kid gets something out of it, and then you layer it with something, you know, a little bit more adult that, you know, the adults will get something out of it. And then if you go, you know, if you can add another layer where, you know, everyone can sort of, well, it's like Shrek, you know, Shrek, how Shrek does that really well when Shrek first came out.
Yeah, there are jokes that, like, no child is going to get.
But, yeah, exactly. And, like, but the adults go, I know what that means. You know what I mean? Like, when you have those sort of stories, I think it does really well.
Nice. So, like, how, all right, we'll just go, like inside baseball. How long did you actually, like, they were like, oh, you've got 12 hours or whatever, but, like, how does that work? Do you, like?
Oh, you have, the clock is definitely, like, 12 hours, but you'll have, like, you know, it's like a working day picture. Like, you know, it's like you'll build for 6 hours of those, you know, 8 or 9 working hours, and then you'll be walking through a door a couple of times, they'll film it, run to here, film it, you know, all that sort of stuff. And so you'll film it over 2-3 days.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So it's not the illusion. I hope I haven't broken it. Just like that I held my hours.
If I had to, like, stand around for 24 hours, I'd die.
So I was like, how do you go to the toilet? I'm like, look, they give you a bag and you go around the corner.
You don't.
I've had 2 kidney transplants as a result.
Oh, cool. And, like, winning it, like, what was, so I, like, all right, so I know, like, a little bit about kind of reality TV, game show TV, where it's like the multiple endings and all that sort of bullshit. Yeah. Like, how did that work?
Look, I don't want to break the illusion for anyone, but yeah, look, they do sort of I don't want to ruin the illusion for anyone, but let's just say that
until you watched it,
I did not know I won. Put it that way.
Cool.
That's the most politically correct way.
No, that's cool. Yeah. I get you. Do you have the trophy?
Yes, I do. I do. And it was a big thanks to Brickman that we got the trophy, because originally they weren't going to give us the trophy. They were just like, you can have the money and then that's fine. And then Cade was like, but I want the trophy. And I was like, this guy wants the trophy more than the money.
Like, you weren't happy to split the difference?
and then Brickman actually rang us and congratulated us. And he was like, oh, where'd you get, you know, who's going to keep the trophy? Because we thought we were getting the one that they use, you know, the big one. And then we were like, oh, no, we're not getting a trophy. And then Brickman's like, oh, I'm going to build you guys a trophy.
So we That's ended up, cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. You built us like a 3/4 replica.
Yeah, oh, nice.
And send it to us. So that was awesome.
That's cool. And like that Poseidon thing, like what happens to all that stuff? Do they just, is that kept somewhere under lock and key at Channel 9 or?
Yeah, no, I think their Poseidon's done its tour of duty. And he's probably getting retired
now. He's being disassembled and put back into the brick pit.
He's going to the big brick pit in the sky. but there was one build that I know that they kept, which was the violin.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody really liked that, and they were like, yeah, no, we're not getting rid of that one. And I was like, good.
That's cool.
So that was really nice.
Cool.
I'm surprised they didn't auction them out or something, you know.
I think charity. That'd be.
You know, as great as that sounds, most of the builds are, like, you know, terrible when we put the plan put together. Yeah. They're built for TV. Yeah. That's it.
it's like not easy to transport.
Half the stuff's held together by a stud and a prayer. You know?
Well, I suppose the thing, you're building so quickly and on such a scale.
Totally. You're building really fast, and you're trying to build, like, you're building really fast, but you're also trying to just build for the camera. So you realize really quickly what the camera needs to see and just build for the camera. Mm. And then the other, like, if you turn most of the models around,
it's like a hollow.
It's
like Jaws, where half the shark's actually missing.
it's like everything's almost like a cross section. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And like, what's life like now? What's happening for you now that you've did this show and you've won the show?
Well, we've had a really, really cool opportunity present itself with Kate and I have been able to author a book now. So it's called Brick Dad. It'll come out in August of 2021. And that's basically, it's actually really, like, it's very, very dear to us because a lot of the events that you'll see in the book, it's basically like dad jokes done with Lego, right? And then you've got Kate and I as characters in the book, but I would say the third character is Lego. So, you know, when you actually look at how this universe in this book is created, it's basically, you know, Kate and I doing normal family situations, and then ultimately, you know, there's a Lego punchline. So it's like you're looking for this Lego character. How is Lego going to be incorporated into this joke sort of thing, you know?
Cool, cool.
So that's the premise of the book. So,
nice.
So we felt as though that was a sort of very natural transition for us to do that rather than hawking skincare on Instagram or something like that. So. Although Kate has a skincare line coming out.
Really?
No.
If you're under Hush Studio lights, you need to look your best. So I think it's safe to say that, like, I mean, apart from like the kind of odd areas of its tumultuous past, Lego probably isn't going anywhere.
No, it's here to stay, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it's great. It's like it's a toy that I have no problems getting my kid into, rather than buying, like, not to shit on Hot Wheels, but you buy the other racetracks and it does one thing and that's all it friggin' does. The car goes around the loop and that's it.
Yeah,
it's
totally
like,
right.
I don't want to buy any toy that has like a one use.
Yeah, that's my biggest bugbear is that. I think I said that to you.
I think so. Like probably before I had kids. Yeah. I was like, that's a great philosophy.
It's just to have a toy that, you know, it's like those stupid babies that you feed and then they poo and...
You're talking about the toys or the real life ones?
No, the real life ones, they change. Lots of things you can do with them. You can train them and you can get them. No, but, you know, the little dolls that you do that and that's it. And then there's, like, you know, little walking, yapping dogs and stuff. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
That's its function. That's always going to be.
There's not
its
a great
function.
Deal of imagination you can pump into
it's
that.
It's like when you assemble model kits as well, right? Like, yeah, you know, I'm a bit into that as well, but it's like you do it and it's just like you finish it and it's just like,
That's it.
Like, I can't do anything else with this thing.
You can't keep making it.
That's right. Like, there's a finality to it, right? Yeah. Whereas you look at a Lego model that you've built and you're like,
yeah,
I could revisit this and do something else with it, or
like, you know, building's half the fun. I could just take it apart and build it again if I really want to.
Totally.
Yeah, and redesign and then create your own and so on. It's I call it the ultimate toy, but it's also one of the most ultimate learning toys as well, because it's using a lot of mathematics and fine motor skills and all of
engineering
these sorts of things,
and strengthening parts. And
That was one of the reasons as well that I got back into Lego, because like my older one, when he was, you know, in primary school in his early days, they said, oh, you know, he could use a little bit of help with his fine motor skills, you know, Lego and, you know, things like, and that was Lego and guitar were the two things that he picked, and both were, you know, trying to, you know, improve his fine motor skills. And, you know, he's taken off with guitar, but he's, you know, he's chucked the Lego.
You know, but it did its job.
It did its job. Yeah, his guitar skills is definitely attributed to the Lego. I'll put that out there.
Start building him picks. Cool. Like, I don't know what else I've got to say on Lego.
On Lego. If I had to rank toys, it's the number one.
It would be number one.
Yeah, it's number one. I can't think of any other toy that comes close. You know, Meccano is sort of, it's more limited because of the way that it's constructed.
It's too hard. I think it is a little bit too hard, but also I think it doesn't have the the playability of like being able to take it apart again because
you
the
screw metal shit
bends.
Together.
Yeah, because the metal bends, and so once you've bent it, it's like, oh well, it's
that's
done.
Right.
It's it's bent that way, and I can't take it apart again. You know, so I think it doesn't have the reusability like that Lego has. Like, you know, Lego, you can literally just go, oh, I'm building a house today. I'm building a robot tomorrow. I'm building a car, and you know, it literally fits. You know, it holds together the kid's idea.
Yeah,
you know, or the adults.
That sort of durability of it, ultimately.
All right, before we wrap up this, normally on our Peeling Onions, we would do a top five to finish off our show. But I'll throw out a question to you both. We know yours. What was your favorite Lego set as a kid?
Oh, okay.
It was your spaceship, right?
Yep.
But is there one Lego set now or as a kid, is there one Lego set that you always wanted and never got?
Oh, there was, and I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was like a moon space station, like it was a really big one, and you know, I never got the really big sets as a kid. I think that big spaceship was the biggest I ever got, but I can't say the names of them because
that's cool.
They're so old. But
give us the set numbers, Jason. Give them.
Yeah, I'll the set numbers. Hey, Scott's got the computer there. He can look it up. But yeah, it was some sort of moon base, and it had a rocket ship and a sort of lander, and I think it was like a monorail thing, and I was just wanted to make it to destroy it, crash my big spaceship into it.
I'll have two. My favorite one from when I was a kid was the Lego Technic seaplane. Like it was the one set that my mum and dad got it for me when I was like, I think it was on my 12th birthday. And like it was the set that got me into Technic, and just like I've always wanted to reacquire it. I still haven't, but I will. And then my current favorite set now is the Lego 1989 Batmobile.
That's a beautiful set.
It was given to me by a good mate of mine, Rick, and it's a fantastic set. Fantastic.
It looks
set.
Nice.
You know, and I love Batman. I love Batman.
What?
when I got that moniker, Lego Dark Knight, right? Like, I thought I was only going to do Batman ever. It backfired massively.
Well, answer your own question. There, Scott.
My favorite one was obviously that Dinosaur Island set that I had, but the one Lego set that I always wanted and never got was the Rock Raiders. Does anyone remember Rock Raiders?
I do.
The Rock Raiders base. Wow. Was the big set.
That's an obscure sort of set to get, right? Like, I would have never thought.
I had all of them but the base.
Yeah, right.
And it was like that rock monsters. It was meant to be like an off-world mining operation, and it had like dump trucks and like all dirt and crystals and things they were trying to get, and these like mad, unreal-looking rock monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just really cool, and I never got it.
If I come across it in my travels, I'm going to get it.
Had the sick base and everything with like the big the hill base kind of thing with like the they did it for castles and stuff. They used to be green. And
I would have thought you would have told me some sort of Wild West set.
See, they weren't great. And I got a lot of the Lone Ranger ones, which was as close as I was getting to having Western themed sets.
Just because Lone Ranger was super shit, right?
People were getting rid of them because no one wanted sets from that movie. So I don't know how many Tontos I've got. Johnny Depp Tontos. But the sets were cool.
The sets are great. The movie's rubbish.
I got a soft spot for that movie. It's like a guilty pleasure. It's not good, but it's like a guilty pleasure. Cool. Anyway, Lego. Pop culture at its finest. So thank you so much, Henry, for joining us to talk about Lego.
Thanks for having us, guys.
I've been Scott.
And I'm still Jason. Everything is awesome.
Pop Culture is produced by and recorded by Jason Eddy and Scott Souter. The clip for this week's show was a clip from Lego Masters aired on the Nine Network. And the song at the end was Everything is Awesome by Tegan and Sarah. If you're enjoying the show, please I invite you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us expand the show and reach new listeners. If you'd like to jump onto our socials, we're at Facebook at facebook.com/popculturepod or on Twitter at popcultureau. Good call.
cause everything's awesome. Lost my job, that's a new opportunity. More free time for my awesome community. I feel more awesome than an awesome possum. Dip my body in chocolate frosting. 3 years later, I shot the frost in. Smelling like a blossom, everything is awesome. Stepped in mud, got new brown shoes. It's awesome to win and it's awesome to lose. Awesome to lose. Awesome to lose. Awesome to lose.
Everything is better when